Tag, hello and welcome. My name is the Alpha Female, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Whoa! G'day, mateys. Bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern-day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Solis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Leva Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day, and this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
That's we're in. Great. We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December, and I get on the phone with damn Canadians, and we're spitting snow, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Turnbuckle Talk, the life and times of Ole Anderson, episode 361. We're going to begin this show off with a 10-bell salute to you, Ole Anderson. Thank you very much, OMD. Alongside me, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing all right, my friend, and I'm going to raise the four tonight for just a few moments in remembrance. I'm doing well. I'm a little bit tired, so hopefully it doesn't keep me wired now half the night, but I just had a cup of coffee. And I'm looking forward to talking some wrestling news.
All right. We got Bobby Stats coming in before we get to our first story saying hello. How's it going, Bobby? Pleasure to have you on our show.
Good evening, Bobby.
But let's dive right into it. We got to talk about Ole and the incredible mark he has left on the pro wrestling world. Ole Anderson passed away last night, being born 1942, passed away last night, reported during Monday Night Raw. And I got to give kudos to the crew at Monday Night Raw for, being able to put that tribute out as fast as they could, even if it was just a little graphic. He passed away at the age of 81. Anderson gained a reputation early in his career as a tag team champion, paired with partners that were billed as relatives. That would be Gene Anderson, Arn Anderson, of course. Him and Arn, of course, known as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. The pair later on would join up with Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard to form the one and only Four Horsemen. Yes. Led by manager J.J. Dillon, they captured titles galore during that run. Yes.
And even at one point, Ric Flair was a member of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, as he has stated in his biography.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Ole and his history, just the clips that I've seen from back in the day with the Four Horsemen, the original iteration of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah. One of the all-time greats in the wrestling business. Sure, the man had a lot of his own controversies. I mean, what wrestler hasn't these days? As it says here, the WWE put out a statement saying that the Four Horsemen set a standard of style, attitude, and success that has inspired every stable that followed. So to put this into perspective, without the Horsemen, without a guy like Ole Anderson there, we wouldn't have the stables we have today.
No, we wouldn't.
Anderson was born Alan Robert Rogowski. He served in the U.S. Army, according to the obituary. Let's see here. Did the team with the Four Horsemen. Went on to become a booker for WCW as well. Made a lot of controversial moves during that time, including the firing of one Mark Calloway, the Undertaker.
Yep.
Came out and came forward and said, "You'll never make a dime in this business." And Mark was like, "Okay, and see you later." I'm on, and he sure enough goes to WWE and now is the standard bearer for what WWE stars are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Go yes, ahead, OMD. You had something.
Definitely a legend in this business. Doing that tag team thing, I believe, yes, he and Arn won numerous tag team titles, even in WCW as part of the Horsemen.
Yep.
And back, even going back even further to the NWA before it took over, or before it became WCW.
Yeah, him and Arn in AWA together.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been around the block a time or two. I don't know if you know this, but one of the more funnier segments Ole was indirectly involved with in WCW, and that is the Shockmaster.
Okay.
He was the voice of Shockmaster when Shockmaster cut that promo. Yeah, after that trip through the thing, he played the voice of the Shockmaster.
Okay, I did not know that actually, but I do remember, of course, the segment.
Yeah. He also was involved in another semi-controversial angle. That saw Ric Flair leave WWE. Him and Ole started to fall apart. I'm sorry, WCW. But him and Ole started to fall apart. And they screwed Ric Flair out of the WCW. I'm sorry. I'm having false memories here. So bear with me here.
Of course.
Ole Anderson was also the voice of the Black Spider. Sorry. Who was sent out to screw Sting for the WCW title, not Ric Flair. Ole made a lot of controversial decisions as far as the booking went for WCW, him alongside Jim Herd. He also had the gall to, and I was telling OMD this story about this before, but on the WCW hotline, he also came out and challenged the dirt sheet writers to a fight, and he would give them $10,000.
Right.
Mark Madden. He's a big boy, Mark Madden.
Right.
He stepped forward and accepted the challenge. Ole backed off and said, "Oh, I was just playing around." What does Mark Madden do? He sends a fax to WCW saying, "Where's my $10,000?"
Wow.
But no, Ole was actually very decent in the ring. I found myself really enjoying him. Anytime I got the chance to watch his matches, you watch a lot of Arn Anderson matches and you'll see Ole in Arn Anderson as well.
Right. Of course.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love Arn Anderson. Ole was one of those hard hitting technical wrestlers. That's what I call it. Not afraid to throw punches, but would wrestle you to the ground when he could.
Right. So he was that. I'm going to say the influence, I guess, more for a guy like a Jon Moxley or a Bryan Danielson.
To a degree, yes.
You see that more so in Moxley than in Danielson, but Danielson has that technical prowess as opposed to the ground and pound.
He was well-rounded in the ring. Like, he could brawl the best of them. He could wrestle with the best of them, you know?
Yep.
And that's, again, our hearts and our condolences go out to the Anderson family, to the Rogowski family, as he's actually known as.
Yes. One more time.
One more time for you, Ole. We got to put it up. Rest in peace, my friend. Now, what do you say we move on to some of the lighter stories, some of the better stories that we've got coming out this week? Like right now, I've got NXT on my TV. There's a certain announcer that's made his return tonight. And that is Booker T has finally returned to commentary on NXT. What do you make of this one, dude? I mean, I know we're not really fond of Booker on the announce table.
No, we're not. I mean, good to see him back. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, we don't want to see anybody, regardless of where they are, in the hospital, let alone having a surgery, no matter how minor or major it may be, mm-hmm. and whether they're in-ring talent or not. Again, this isn't huge for me. I'm actually watching the Leafs game tonight. I'll catch NXT on replay at 11. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, because I really enjoyed having Wade Barrett and even Byron Saxton on commentary the last couple of weeks. Because they weren't ripping Byron a new one and telling him to shut up all the time. And he was actually doing well in that sort of, I guess, a heel type of role.
Which was weird for me, considering I've seen Byron over the last couple of weeks, as he's been doing the commentary with Vic Joseph. I've seen pre-show videos that fans were taking who had gone to watch NXT live, and they show Byron hyping the show like a baby face, just having fun with the fans. So it was a little bit off-putting for me, you know?
Right. It's weird, but I mean, to hear him in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, I know we're both of that mindset. Booker T is better on the pre-show panels and analysis as opposed to the commentary booth. But I mean, you can't force everybody to love a certain individual. It's subjective, right? We're not big fans of Booker T on commentary, yet we love Corey Graves. There are people who don't like Michael Cole and Pat McAfee.
I love the Cole and McAfee relationship.
Right. So, you know, I mean, great to see Booker back. I'd like to see him move into more of a managerial role, but I do know that he also probably doesn't have the time as he has his reality of wrestling promotion.
Yeah. Got JJ coming in here saying that Saxton has always been a favorite of mine. He is great. Bobby Stats is also saying here that he loves watching Pat McAfee on commentary. Pat McAfee is just a bundle of joy to watch when he ends up and dances on the table when a wrestler comes to the ring. Like, come on, that's awesome.
But you know what? It was really weird because last night Pat McAfee was so subdued on commentary.
I'm going to chalk that up to the Australia trip, because that would be exhausting to anybody.
Yes, very much so. There was that, but I mean, at the same time, again, Raw was a very slow burning, but methodical episode for me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't want to get off topic here. This is Booker T. I'm glad that they're keeping Booker in NXT to work on his commentary.
Yeah, because let's put things into perspective as to why I think Booker's down there in NXT doing the commentary. I really think that he's not just there to do the commentary. I think he's also there to help the talent coming through NXT, doing things, maybe working alongside Matt Bloom, William Regal, Shawn Michaels, because let's face it, dude's got a plethora. There's that word. plethora of knowledge,
right,
when it comes to the wrestling business, just about as much as William Regal, just about as much as Shawn Michaels does.
Right. And let's not forget that, you know, some of the wrestlers from Reality of Wrestling are in NXT, aka Roxanne Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Just to name one.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is that because he runs Reality of Wrestling, he'd have no trouble saying, hey, look, I think this wrestler from my promotion would do great over here in NXT. Why don't we give him a look, you know?
Yep.
We got JJ coming in saying that I would love to see Taz and Pat do a show together. Taz reacting to Pat would be dynamite.
Yes. Yes, it would.
That would be interesting to see. Give me Taz from like 2003 commentary and Pat McAfee.
Yes.
And I think that'd be one fun show to listen to.
You know
to.
What? I will even go back to when Taz was doing commentary in TNA. And Impact.
He kind of fell flat for me at that time. Because I was really missing Don West. So
right.
But Bobby Stats is also coming in and saying Booker T could help young NXT wrestlers and could have them wrestle with Reality Wrestling. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at. Like, Booker's stance in NXT probably isn't just the commentary.
No.
He's probably there helping out the NXT stars, helping out Reality of Wrestling stars, maybe even taking those NXT level up guys and bringing them over to Reality of Wrestling to help them get a little bit more exposure.
Yep. And I mean, we've even seen recently some of that level up talent debut on SmackDown in Dante Chen.
He was on Main Event for like 2 weeks beforehand too. So
yes, but he also served as Bron Breakker's first SmackDown opponent last Friday.
Yeah. I got to say, there's something with that Dante Chen guy that I'm looking forward to seeing more of.
Right.
Because when he wrestled on Main Event, it was a match against Akira Tozawa, and it was a fantastic little match they had.
Right. So, yeah, it's good. And I know that there is a partial working relationship, at least with ROW and NXT. So, you know, occasionally Sean will sit there and say, okay, yes, you can borrow this talent for your show, provided it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that some of the enhancement talent, if they are brought in for NXT, are coming from Reality of Wrestling as well.
Yeah, and maybe even like, Paul Heyman showing up last night on Raw with them security guards, one of them being former Tough Enough contestant AJ Kirsch.
Right.
I guarantee those guys came from somewhere in the indies as well.
Right.
Obviously. But yeah, I'm happy to see Booker T back. Do I really want him in a commentator position? Maybe not. Put him in a producer role. I'd be happy with that. Put him on the panel. I'm happy with that. Sometimes though, on the panel, he makes he says a lot of stupid stuff. Like, I'm not really fond of that shucky ducky quack quacks.
Right.
Shtick he does.
He does the same thing on commentary. And this is where I'd like to see him get into a managerial role, where he could revert back, bring some of that knowledge, and sort of do the scouting right at ringside.
Mm-hmm.
But get back to that whole don't hate the player, hate the game type of scenario.
Yeah, because here's the other thing too. Like, when he was doing the don't hate the player, hate the game gimmick, I actually really enjoyed him doing promos and stuff through that. So, I mean, he wasn't a bad promo. He wasn't the best either.
No, but he was never a bad promo.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not big on the whole SD double Q, and you know, it's good once in a while to bring it out.
I'll preface this by saying I don't mind when he's saying it's going to be my shucky ducky quack quack moment. Because that just means he's explaining like what he thinks is going to be his moment of the night at the PLE that they're discussing.
Right. Booker T fits in better. It's kind of like with the Raw Patrol, where we've got four or five of us, and he fits in better because you've got four other people that you're bouncing ideas off of, as well as the host.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it's better, because you get everybody's opinion, and it's nobody is disqualified or told, you know, you're wrong. You're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah. But yeah, long story short, we're happy to see Booker back, not necessarily in a commentator position, because let's face it, Wade Barrett and Byron Saxton did kind of set a little bit of standard on Booker there in those few weeks he was gone. I'm glad everything's sorted out for Booker, because he did have to leave due to medical reasons that weren't related to him. So it may have been maybe something to do with Charmel, may have been something to do with someone in his family.
That it did have to do with him, and he was in hospital getting an operation.
Oh, okay. I didn't see anything about that. So
yeah, that was like the second week he was off, but I didn't get anything further on that. So whether it is or it isn't, we don't know. We need clarification.
Just glad that he's back, that he's healthy. Bill looks good. So
yep.
Just happy to have you back, Booker. Why don't we move on to a promotion that Booker once worked for, actually. Got two stories coming out of them. We're going to move on to TNA, where Booker spent a little bit of time there, won the Legends title there, if I'm not mistaken. Should have won a World Heavyweight title on his debut, but that's another story. But TNA has held a meeting with the Stars over the weekend regarding the departure or the firing of Scott D'Amore, as well as the letter that was sent out to TNA upper management. I didn't quite get to see all of the notes that were written for this that were in this meeting. Could you elaborate on this for me, OMD, at all?
I really haven't seen anything. I didn't hear anything about this meeting until you've told me. So I can quickly try and look it up for us.
Okay. Okay. The feeling, so the feeling among the talent was that no one wanted to abandon the hard work that they put into TNA, even if they didn't agree with, I've got it here, dude.
Okay.
Am I, do I keep freezing up on you or something?
No. No, keep going.
Okay. So the feeling among the talent was that no one wanted to abandon the hard work that they put into TNA, even if they didn't agree with Scott D'Amore getting released.
Right.
So one top star was set to leave the company, but decided to stay after the taping and subsequent meeting. The meeting was said to be good at getting talent excited for the company's future, while many hope that Scott D'Amore will return. Other stars are saying that he's not going to.
Right.
So what do you make of what was discussed here?
Again, I'm excited for TNA, and I'm hoping to see them succeed in this position. I know now that there are going to be some growing pains with this change in regime, with not only Scott D'Amore out, but also Ed Nordholm from Anthem is out. So it's going to be very interesting. Again, I'm excited for the future of TNA. It has long been probably my favorite promotion, even with WWE coming back stronger than ever now in the last 2 years. I was the one guy that probably stuck by TNA and Impact Wrestling, saying they had the best roster in wrestling, low-key. And they were doing things before they were commonplace and brought to the forefront, so to speak, by WWE.
Right.
And I was looking back at, you know, watching Drew Galloway and Bobby Lashley in Impact fight for the world title. I'm hoping that, you know, they take some time. I do want to see a working arrangement between WWE and TNA with Endeavor as well, holding TNA Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I could honestly see an NXTNA pay-per-view maybe a year down the road. Let some of this stuff shake out. Let's see how things play out for TNA, for the talent.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this new president that has come in learns the business, as opposed to just that's my way or the highway.
Yeah, so you don't want him taking a Jim Herd role. We talked no. Jim Herd earlier. Jim Herd really shat on WCW in the early 90s and started booking a lot of stuff that made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I also don't want to see him become a Vince Russo where everything is on a pole.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where TNA goes, but I'm still excited to see who picks up Scott D'Amore.
Yes.
I've in the past few weeks, I've been saying since his firing that this is a dude that regardless of which wrestling promotion, could be NXT or it could be WWE, could be AEW, could be New Japan. If you sign this guy, you're bringing a wealth of knowledge with you. Yes. feel like.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to put out another company that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not educated on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think MLW.
Yes.
Court Bauer, go bring in Scott D'Amore.
Court Bauer knows how to get people to sign. So
there you go.
Court Bauer knows what his company is. He knows that his company is essentially a feeding ground for the major promotions. So what he does with MLW is he takes the stars and he grooms them to get ready for that big spot. Another place where I feel like he could benefit in helping to develop the talent is Al Snow's promotion. One of our sponsors, OVW.
Yes, that would be fantastic. But I am going to go. I think the other place that Scott D'Amore would be beneficial, and Tony Khan, please take notes on this.
And don't make a major announcement about it, because in the grand scheme of things, it's not really a major announcement.
Get Ring of Honor their own TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
Turn Ring of Honor. No, not sorry. I don't want to say turn it in, but establish Ring of Honor as your version of NXT and let Scott D'Amore run it.
I think that's, you know, I've been saying that when he picked up ROH, I said that that's what he needs to do with Ring of Honor is turn it into a developmental company for AEW. Got Chris Parrish coming in saying "What's up?" And yes, I had to reference the old Budweiser commercial by saying it that way. We also got Bobby Stats coming in saying, "How about Scott D'Amore helping Billy Corgan with the NWA?"
Again, fantastic get. But I'm also wondering if that's not a little bit of Scott D'Amore firing back at Billy Corgan for coming in to try and run and buy TNA back when he had invested in it. And then it went nowhere. But I mean, Billy Corgan could definitely use the help. It would get them off of an app for their shows and get them back onto TV. Although we're not going to have the CW have the NWA compete with NXT come October.
Well, that's because the CW is not getting NWA.
They're not?
No, NXT is going to the CW.
I know, but the CW app is carrying NWA.
Yeah. Okay, well, the app is, but they're not going to be on network TV for CW because
no, they're CW not.
Did not like what happened at the last pay-per-view. They
did. No, they did not. No, they did not. And that's why I'm saying if you get Scott D'Amore in, you can clean that up. But then NWA is going to be forced to leave CW, regardless of whether it's the app or the network. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so another place, like, I kind of want to see Scott D'Amore go to WWE, and I know that guys like Abyss, Robert Roode, Jeremy Borash, Petey Williams, they're going to try. They're going to try.
Oh, absolutely.
And talk they to Triple H about getting him in.
Absolutely, they are.
Yeah. And we got Chris Parrish coming in and say, but who really watches cable television nowadays? You and I do, Parrish. You and I do.
I was going to say, you do, Parrish. You do.
But yeah, like I'm actually glad that TNA actually decided to sit down, talk with the stars, tell them what's going on, get them excited for the product. Actually, this should have been done the week of the firing.
Yes.
In my personal opinion, instead of leaving the wrestlers in the dark for as long as they did.
Well, there is something to be said for getting it done and out of the way. But I mean, then there's still going to be more questions than answers. Whereas now, if you give it this time, you might be able to have more answers because you've been able to have your office meetings to be able to say, okay, this is what we do want. This is what we don't. This is how we want to play this. Versus mm-hmm. that. So you've got this, I believe his name is, or no, sorry, it was Les, who's at the head of Anthem. And then this Michael Ciccone, I believe his name is,
mm-hmm.
is the new president. So you can get that focus. And then it's, okay, maybe you get some better ratings now on Access as we look to get a new TV deal. Even Santino coming out the other day saying he believes they can get 10,000 people to a live show and 10,000 people a night if they were to go on tour. So who knows? I mean, they are definitely entertaining enough. They definitely put out a good product.
Mm-hmm.
So at least if you focused on trying to be able to come up with some answers for your talent, as opposed to just saying, okay, this is what's happened. This is why. Beyond that, we can't tell you about the direction because we don't know. Now they've established that, okay, we're credible. We're trying to come up with some answers first before we just bombard you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with all of that there, OMD. I do think, like I really think that they shouldn't have left the wrestlers though in the dark as long as they did. They should have had this stuff gathered before,
right?
Deciding to fire Scott D'Amore. Let's keep within TNA, and you said live event, trying to get live shows going. We're going to move on to the next subject that still involves TNA. And there's a rumor that TNA is on the move. One of the buildings that they've suggested or that they're looking at into moving into, as I'm watching NXT on the screen again, the former home of NXT, that being Full Sail University. You said that, OMD, you had told me that there's actually a number of buildings that they're looking into, but one of the things that does stand out is Full Sail University. I've got a little bit of a controversy around this because here is how NXT fans get to NXT at the Performance Center. They have to go to Full Sail University to park their vehicles. They then take a bus from Full Sail to get to the Performance Center to watch the show. So,
right.
There's going to be a little bit of conflict here.
But, I mean, let's not forget, I mean, they did move to, it's now actually, it's not just at the PC, it's at the CWC, the Capital Wrestling Center for NXT now.
Yeah, that's the part of the building of the PC. It's still the PC.
Oh, really? I did not know that. So, yeah. Thank you. where I like it is, again, this could lead to that tentative crossover. That cross-branding NXTNA.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I alluded to, Santino, I saw this earlier today, has said we could draw 10,000 people to live shows. And again, the other thing that excites me about Full Sail University, or wherever they may choose to go, Full Sail is probably the most prominent name that we've heard,
mm-hmm.
is that it gives them the Impact Zone, which was based out of Universal Studios Studio 43 in Orlando.
Not the original home of the Impact Zone, though.
No, it's not. The original home was the Asylum in Nashville.
No, it wasn't. It was in Alabama.
Really?
Yeah. The first Impact Zone was in Alabama for like the first 2 years of their life.
Oh, okay. But, you know, everybody who's really, truly familiar remembers the Impact Zone at Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings them back to that part of the TNA history.
Right.
Back in Orlando, back in Florida, encapsulating all of that. Would I like to see them go back to the, you know, heel and face entrances on each side of the ring? No. I'd rather stay one entrance.
I don't think Full Sail's facilities would be suited for that. So
no. So again, I am excited. And again, it gives them an Impact Zone. One of the things that has, again, always intrigued me about TNA and Impact Wrestling is that, yes, they may tape their shows and they may do 6 to 8 weeks of tapings in a weekend. But then they'd go and maybe tape that in Mexico for 6 to 8 weeks, in Toronto for 6 to 8 weeks. So you've got that so that then the talent can go home and have that time with their families outside of doing a live special.
Mm-hmm. Or a pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
But from what I understand, from what I'm reading in this move, is that they're doing this move so that they could move to live events every week. So every week, TNA goes live.
Yes. Yes. TNA can go live. They also believe that they can draw 10,000 people, like I said, to a live show. It gives them a home. They can do that, go out on the road for their pay-per-views. Or, of course, their Impact Plus specials, as opposed to having to do this, let's tape 6 weeks in a weekend.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going to fill Full Sail with 10,000 people. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I mean, okay, we can split hairs here and, I'm just going with what I read from Santino Marella earlier today,
yeah.
Anthony Carelli. We also know that they are trying to move off of Access TV.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to get a major cable deal. And I mean, we've seen them on Access TV on so many different networks when they were jumping around yearly, that it would be nice to get them a stable TV home outside of TNA Plus.
I mean, they were stable on Spike for a number of years there.
Yeah, until politics got involved there because Spike wanted them to be less edgy.
Yeah, and then before that, they were with Fox Sports, I think, and they were for 3 years. But the airing of TNA at that time was spotty at best.
Yeah. So... And I mean, again, I could see that deal and potentially those future crossovers, especially mm-hmm. with NXT, especially if you're going to be at Full Sail and the CWC, like if you have to catch a bus across a parking lot, think about that. Mm-hmm. How easy is it going to be to throw the talent on that shuttle to get them over for an invasion angle?
Yeah.
Or a branded rivalry? Or do we see TNA invade NXT much like DX invaded WCW?
Well, NXT did try to, or TNA did try to invade WWE at one time.
Yes, and they've also they also ran the reverse with WWE stooges showing up.
Yeah. I'm referring to the time when they were shooting the 2005 Royal Rumble commercial, right. And BG James showed up with cookies to give them or something like that.
Yep.
And they got kicked off the lot pretty damn fast.
Yep. But that's also when Road Dogg and Billy were back at war with Hunter and Sean. And
yeah, it was funny. It was funny to see. But yeah, I don't even know why they need to make this move that they just want to do live TV every week. Is there a lease coming up with the building they're in or something like that? Or what's
they're going not on in that? A building. They're not in a building. They do.
Then what are they doing? Shooting their shows outside on a random field?
They do 2 to 3 weeks of tapings now, sometimes up to 8 weeks at one particular venue. Then they move on to the next. So they'll tape a year's worth of stuff in 2 to 3 months. And unless an injury happens where they then have to go out and film something else, they've got this whole library. So they could do their year's worth of shows in 3 months.
Okay.
So this way, this gives them a stable home. Another place that I would love to see TNA go where you could get 10,000 people, Hammerstein Ballroom.
Again, that arena doesn't fit 10,000. That's like a 4,000 seater. Still, it would be impressive numbers, and still the Hammerstein Ballroom is actually one of my favorite venues to watch wrestling on. So
yes.
I mean, I really think that if they really wanted to try and get 10,000 people, Las Vegas isn't a bad city to set up in.
No, it's not. They do have another pay-per-view coming up from the Palms in Las Vegas, which is just where they just did Hard to Kill and Bayou Blast, and I believe it's their next big pay-per-view is coming from Vegas again. So, but again, I look at Vegas, and to me, that's now synonymous with AEW and All In, All Out, or All Out, Double or Nothing. So you don't want, like, the way I look at it is that's okay, that's now AEW's territory. You know, yes, WWE is world, they're global, but NXT is based out of the PC. Yes, but you also got that history with TNA in Orlando, and you do have WWE's parent company, Endeavor, holding TNA's streaming package.
Mm-hmm. But let's not forget, too, Florida may become just a little bit too convoluted as far as wrestling goes, because AEW's headquarters are in Jacksonville.
Absolutely. You're right.
So they've got their home base in Daly's place in Jacksonville. We've got NXT in Orlando. Kind of makes me want to move. Make me want to move to Florida, though, with the amount of wrestling that's there.
Right.
But yeah, I'm very interested to see where TNA goes, how far, if this move does happen, if they even do go to weekly live TV. My brain froze on me there. Should be interesting to see how this pans out.
But I want to move on to our final story of the day.
Okay.
A certain New Japan star has signed with WWE as of this afternoon. The one and only Tama Tonga has signed with WWE. I am so excited about this because there are so many dream matches I could think of that this guy would be beneficial in.
Right.
So many things that I could see him doing. When he comes to the WWE OMD, what do you want to see him doing?
I want to see him on his own. Again, I'm not overly familiar with his work. I'm aware of the Gorillas of Destiny. I'm aware he had that Bullet Club. I want to see him on his own. And again, it depends where are they putting him? Like, is he going right to the main roster? Is he going to NXT?
Okay, so give me some dream matches that you would like to see him do.
I will do a Tama Tonga versus Gunther. Tama Tonga versus Sheamus. Tama Tonga versus Priest.
So I don't I think he might do it, but I don't want to see him do it. But when he comes to the WWE, I don't think I want to see him do the Bloodline stuff. Because he is of Samoan heritage, being that he is the adopted son of Haku.
Yes.
I don't want to see him being lumped in as the son of Haku when he comes in, because he's already kind of been that way over in New Japan. He tagged him with Haku like a lot over there.
Right.
Acknowledged the fact that, yes, that he is the son of Haku. But I would say put him in NXT. Give him a dominant run there first.
The reason I'm a little bit leery on putting him in NXT right off the bat, and I mean, it doesn't really matter where he goes, is because you just had Gallows and Anderson go there. So do we really need the Bullet Club or another member of the OC?
No, because I want to distance him away from that. He can come in, be his own character, still be in NXT with the Good Brothers still being there, but just give him this dominant run where he runs through the roster, do as Bobby Stats says, take on Ilya Dragunov. Maybe he takes the title off of him and just has that dominant run for like a year, you know?
And I mean, I realize I said, you know, put him up against Damian Priest, and I realize that puts him sort of in Finn Balor's target, which again, we don't need. Yeah. Really, probably the safest place for him to go where there is limited exposure to that. I mean, yes, you've got the Judgment Day thing with Priest, but put him on SmackDown. You can sort of, again, acknowledge the history between him and AJ, but let them do their own things.
But they then again, you put him in a potential tie with the Bloodline, being that he is of Samoan heritage.
Yes.
But there's a lot of avenues you can explore with him. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, I've got Dijak on my screen here. I think it'd be a fun match with between them two. Yep. And I got Joe Gacy coming out right now too. Joe Gacy would be a fun match.
Yes.
There's
a plethora
of fun matches. Yes. We got Bubba Duke coming in saying, "What's up, boys? How's it going, Bubba? Glad to have you here." There's so many dream matches here, but as I said, I'd put him in NXT, get him that dominant run. Let him run on his own. Basically do the same thing with what they're doing with Lexus King, except Lexus isn't really being as dominant. He's still putting out good matches, though.
He is. He is. But again, they've done with the look they gave Lexus. Even though he's like, "I don't want to be anything like my father," guess what they've done with his look and this character?
His character is nothing like Pillman. Pillman was a psycho. Lexus is a cocky son of a bitch. Pardon my language.
Yes. I do see that loose cannon gimmick coming into play very soon, though, if Lexus loses a match very soon.
Yeah.
And I can see him snapping and going off the deep end.
He's also sort of playing puppet master by interjecting himself into angles he doesn't
assemble. Right.
Along.
Not to the extent that his dad did on TV. Oh. I know exactly where you're coming from. Tama Tonga versus Lexus King. There's a money match. And it's going to be the same thing with Tama Tonga and what's his partner's name? Or is not Hikuleo, his actual partner in G.O.D. Chris, I think you froze on me.
Give me one second here. Phantasmo?
No. Oh, Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, but Tongaloa is, of course, with Gates of Agony in AEW and Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I don't really want to see... I'd love to see Hikuleo come over. We got a little bit of a taste of him in TNA a few years ago, and great talent. I'm hoping he's learned how to work a little bit more and grown into his size.
Yeah. Bubba Duke coming in and say money match. Bubba Duke and Danny Duggan versus anyone. Do you really want to step up to Tama Tonga, the son of Haku? I mean, Haku is tough, but so is Tama Tonga, man.
Right.
Let's just say if that match were to happen, OMD, you and I would be planning a hospital visit to Bubba.
Yes, we would.
We got Bobby Stats also saying Trick Williams. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad match either.
Not at all.
Because when I watch Tama Tonga wrestle, I do see a lot of Haku in him.
Right.
And if you remember correctly, Haku just worked stiff as fuck. And I'm looking forward forward to seeing what Tama can do in the WWE.
Yes.
Haku, I know, is going to show the ropes of how to work with the WWE. Being that Haku is still very good friends with a lot of the people there, so.
Yes, but, I mean, we also, let's not forget that Tama Tonga did have, prior to his New Japan run, he was with, in the Unico and Camacho pairing.
Right.
So he is familiar with WWE from 15 years ago, but we do know that that has changed drastically.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he was Camacho. So he would still know how to navigate the WWE. But he's coming back. And I'll say this again, because every wrestler who has left went on to go get some seasoning. He's coming back a seasoned performer now.
Yes.
Because back then, during his run there, he was young. Didn't quite know how to navigate the business. Did what he could. Got saddled with taking over the
Sin Cara
gimmick, and actually did it a lot better than the original Sin Cara did it.
Yes, he did.
And then the Camacho. Yeah. So yeah, he's coming back with a wealth of knowledge again. And I'm very excited to see. Wait, was he? Yeah, he was Sin Cara, right?
Yes, he was Sin Cara El Negro.
Oh, no, sorry. That was Hunico. It was Hunico. My bad. Oh, Hunico okay. was, yeah. Okay, well, Camacho was his tag team partner when yes. it was Hunico. They came out on the little pedal bikes like you would yep. see in the Friday movies.
Yeah.
But again, he's coming back a more seasoned performer. He's going to understand how to go through the WWE. I do see him going to NXT as a way to be, as a way to remind people of him, to build himself back up. NXT could do, he could do well in NXT for that.
Yes. Yeah. Builds him back up, gets him back into the North American style
mm-hmm.
of wrestling as opposed to the Japanese style and allows him to reintegrate. But I could see him also being put into that spot like a Dragon Lee where, okay, yes, you're coming. We're going to put you in NXT for the first 6 to 8 months just to get you reintegrated to the North American style and WWE. But then we're going to bump you right up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm. But on that note, I'm very happy to see this. I've been waiting for this announcement for months because Tama Tonga was on that list of guys who we knew their contracts were coming up, and it was just a matter of when and where they were going to go. So yes. to hear that Tama Tonga is coming to the WWE has got me very, very excited. And on that note, what do you say we throw out our socials to call it a night as we are closing in on the 1 hour mark?
We are closing in on the 1 hour mark. And yes, I think we should give out our socials. I think we should let the people know where they can find us.
All right. So let's go to you, OMD. How can the people find you?
Well, people, you can find me on the Book of Faces under my real name, Daniel Harisic. On Snapchat, One Man Dynamic, capitals on O, M, and D. On Twitch at OMD17 and on Discord at OMD6370. Visually, if you want to see the Moneymaker, you can catch me right here every Monday on the Raw Patrol as my studio falls apart beside me. with Chris Best, with Carl Carafell, with Chris Parrish, with Bubba Duke. You can catch me right here every Tuesday with Chris Best and Carl Carafell on Turnbuckle Talk and on Thursdays with Bubba Duke on the Boar's Nest. You can also, and yes, on YouTube at Bubba OMD for the Boar's Nest. Thank you, Bubba, for putting that out there.
I'll throw that up right quickly here so people can see it on the Twitch ticker as well.
And yes, at the Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke on Twitch. We do put up both streams on Twitch on occasion. So over to you, my friend.
Before we go to me, any idea on what game you guys are doing this week? Are you guys still doing Gears of War 5 or no?
We are still doing Gears 5 and we are actually waiting. We are debating a time slot change. We are still debating. All right. So we're waiting to hear from the people. Do they want us to stay on Thursdays? Do they want us to move to Sundays? Do we move to Wednesdays?
All right. Well, they'll keep you in the loop on that one. Let's hand out my socials here. You can find me at youtube.com at CBRS Entertainment, Twitch TV, CBRS_entertainment, threads.net at cbestfilms.83, facebook.com, chris.best83, tiktok.com, cbrs.entertainment. Look for me this Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, as I do Saturday Night Gaming, where I've left Nathan Drake in a bit of a pickle. I've left him hanging on the side of a moving train while an Apache helicopter shoots at him. Will I be able to get him out? Tune in on Tune in Saturday at 8 p.m. to find out. This coming Monday night, you will find me here alongside OMD, alongside Bubba Duke, alongside Chris Parrish and Carl Carafell as we do the Raw Patrol. Next Tuesday, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, where Carl, OMD, and I will be here to report to you
a plethora of the wrestling news of the week. 8:05 Eastern for Turnbuckle Talk. And ladies and gentlemen, before I bid you adieu, just want to let you know, the world's a scary place. Take care of each other.